More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. Summer, waning as it may be, is a time for things like hiking, swimming, canoeing, family vacations, and sometimes all of the above. For Waukesha writer Jim Landwehr, the best place to pursue all of those activities is the Boundary Waters Canoe Area in far northern Minnesota. Landwehr's been going to the Boundary Waters for decades, and for a while, it was a family tradition that he and his brothers would take canoe trips together. He details the lessons he learned on these trips, from the importance of a clean shirt to the importance of family, in a recent memoir called Dirty Shirt, a Boundary Waters memoir. Back last month, Landwehr told Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce about what first drew him to the Boundary Waters.
It was this super remote allure of the area. It was, and the boat motors were allowed, but there weren't very many there. It was just a rustic terrain, just an adventure, I guess. And the weather we had up there was just kind of added to the whole mystique of it. And it just it made me want to go back further north and into rougher conditions just to see if I could do it.
One of the interesting things about this book is you never quite describe yourself as an expert outdoorsman, yet you take these really big outdoors challenges on going into this relative wilderness.
Yeah, it was, again, it really began with my dad going up there in the past and kind of, you know, wanting to walk in his footsteps in some respects. And it was also a challenge by, you know, friends and brothers to, could we really rough it, and could we do it well, and could we do it right? And we did a little of both. We did it right and we did it wrong, but we learned along the way too. So
you mentioned your brothers, and a big portion of the book is dedicated to the trips that you made with them. But there's another reason too why you wrote this book.
Yeah, there was. It was about brotherhood and about bonding and that kind of things with other family members. But it was really written, you know, for an audience of families. Originally, it was supposed to be just my family stories written down for posterity, and it kind of took on a life of its own to where my writing instructor said, would you like to take this to the wider world? And I said, well, do you think it would sell? And she said, sure. And she said, there's family elements in there, there's adventure in there, there's bonding. She said it would appeal to not just outdoors lovers, but to family people who love family and love relationships. So,
well, I want to go back to some of your early camping and canoeing adventures in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. Some of these early trips were less fortunate than the later ones. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the important nature lessons you learned during some of these early trips.
I guess the first one we learned was just a healthy respect for the water, knowing that when we went out the first time, it was on a river system, and thinking that, you know, this is adventure and it's running the rapids as part of that adventure. Well, if you don't run the rapids right, you will pay a price for the rest of the trip. And so that was our first exposure, was just doing it wrong can make your life miserable. So we learned from that, and then we went ahead and continued to learn and grow as we went. But the other item that we learned was just that things that matter back home don't matter up in the woods. What matters is keeping dry, keeping warm, helping each other out. Things that you take for granted at home, but along with that, you don't have the stresses of some of the things you have in city urban life as well. So as we went, we learned a little bit from each of those adventures, and we got better at it as we went along.
You hadn't finished the first trip.
Right, right. I had to turn back with a friend, and this guy went ahead with another friend, and they finished it, and we went back, and he said, if you're not all right with that, let's go back and do it again. It was really kind of a relief to myself to be able to actually finish what we had started a year before.
Why was it so important to you to finish that?
Well, for me especially, being that I thought I was the most outdoorsy of them all. And so when I didn't make it the first trip, I was like, well, I can do better than this. And I was out to prove it to myself, prove it to them, and to prove it to my family as well in some respects. And to, even though my dad wasn't around, just to be able to say, yeah, I did do it. And, you know, I think he would have been proud of that, I guess.
Tell us about, then, the genesis of the brothers' trips.
Those came out of a discussion we had. I think we were at a bar somewhere, and somebody said, well, what do you think about going up to the Boundary Waters together and fishing and stuff? And we all kind of agreed that that might be kind of fun because we had kind of been disconnected through the high school years, and this was a good way to regroup in our college years and just kind of hang out for a week. And so we all love to fish. We all love the outdoors. Not having grown up with a dad, we kind of thought, well, this would be a good chance to maybe learn a little bit about what he saw in the area. And so it just kind of took on a life of its own, on top of being able to reconnect once a year to go a little bit deeper below the surface than, hey, how's the weather, Merry Christmas, you know, kind of the holiday greetings, and find out what's really going on in our lives. So it was a connection point, too, for us.
What did you learn about your family?
I learned that as much as we have our own unique characteristics and differences, that really the only ones we have is each other when it comes right down to it. Growing up in a single-parent family, that was, you know, kind of an undercurrent the whole time. But this kind of made us realize that even though we have our quibbles and our gripes and some of our past history, that really when you get right down to it, we're going to be there for each other. And it proved itself later in life, obviously, with some of the later book stuff. So it was really a cementing of something that we knew was there anyways, but it really helped, I think, in the brothers anyways, bring us together like nothing else could have.
Do you think you found out there in the Boundary Waters what had appealed to your father?
Absolutely. I think we did, because it takes you to a spot that is so remote that all you have to is what you hear, see, and taste. And you have a lot of time to think about life back home. You have a lot of time to think about where you've been, where you're going. My father, from what I understand, was a bit of a lost soul. So I think this was his way of, you know, finding his way as well. So we all kind of came away every year going, yeah, this was good, and this is what Dad would have done. This is what Dad, he would be here if he could. And it was just kind of an agreement that there was nothing negative coming out of these trips at all. It was all good.
What were some of the funnier memories you have from some of these trips that maybe didn't go perfectly?
Well, there's several, and everything from the homemade roof rack we made for the car out of lumber and clothesline to the time where I was going to take the canoe out in the morning for a quick fishing trip and managed to tip over launching the thing and ended up to my neck in water while the rest of the guys were sleeping. So I ended up trying to keep it quiet to where I didn't tip it off that I had tipped it over. And as a result, I got out of the water, put the canoe up, and changed into my dry clothes before anybody got up, and nobody ever knew the difference until I told it in the book. So
should have kept it secret, Jim.
Yep, that's a fact. But there's just so many opportunities in the woods when something goes wrong to laugh at yourself, but also to laugh at others. And that's the important thing out of the book, was you got to be able to take it as well as give it, or else, you know, you'll never make it in a camping environment at any level.
Given how beneficial these trips were and how memorable they were, what then precipitated the end of this tradition?
It actually came about in 1991. I had just married. I think I did one more trip after I was married. Everybody was kind of done with being together for 5 years, and we were all starting our own families and relationships to the point where the wives started having say, and vacation time became a premium, and it kind of just ran its course like many things in life. It was a new chapter, and we just kind of agreed that maybe we'll pick it up again someday, but maybe not. And so it was unfortunate, but I guess we got a lot out of the time we were up there, so it wasn't for naught.
Now, the book is dedicated to your brother, Rob. And in a very moving part of the book, you talk about the last fishing trip you take with Rob. Tell mm-hmm. us about that.
It's hard to put into words without getting all broken up. But it really, he had what was called a celebration of life party because we knew his condition was terminal. He had cancer, a spinal cancer that they operated on, removed the tumors. A few months later, the tumors came back and they deemed it, it spread to his lungs and it became terminal. So at his celebration of life party, which was a party of about 200 of his closest friends and family, an event that he wanted to do to say goodbye, the question was raised was maybe we could get the brothers out one more time fishing and accommodate him. He was in a wheelchair at the time, and just kind of get the band back together. So we took it upon ourselves to rent a pontoon on White Bear Lake. It's an urban lake right in the Twin Cities, and we had just an awesome, awesome experience with taking him out. He caught the most fish. He caught the first fish. He caught the biggest fish, as it should be. The rest of us were all kind of in the background just catching one here or there, and he just stole the show, and it was just one of those aha moments where you're like, this is what it's all about. So glad I had to do it. It was just such an opportunity to just one more time do it like we had done it.
What precipitated the decision to start up the tradition again, to resurrect it?
Well, I think part of it with us and this generation that we're raising is they are a bit disconnected from the natural environment. And my brother, as he's head of the DNR, and he's very big into getting kids outdoors again, getting them away from their screens, getting them into the woods and into on the water and fishing and hunting and everything like that. And that's part of our thing is we wanted to pass that love on because it is such a great opportunity to bond with your children, to experience nature, to get in touch with, you know, your inner self, with others. It's just it's almost a mystical kind of experience, and we wanted to share that with our kids.
Why was it important for you to go back there even after the passing of your brother to make sure that this tradition carried on in a new way?
Part of it was to show that we will persevere, that despite all of this adversity we've had in our lives, and we've had a fair amount. My sister died at the age of 5 of a Wilms tumor. My dad died at a young age, and my brother now. And so we just wanted to prove to ourselves that adversity can set us back, but it will not deter us from continuing to try and make a conscious effort to get together as a family and to do the things that Rob would have love to do with us. And so it was important that we include his daughter on this last trip again. And we pulled in my nephew, whose father died at a young age too. And so it was funny. I mentioned in the book that they, at one point, the two of them were in what we called the orphan canoe because neither of them had fathers. And they laughed at it. But it was a moving trip in that it was the first one without Rob, so he was on our minds all the time, all of us, and it actually turned out to be just a really great experience, despite the bugs and the rain and whatever that we get every trip.
Well, Jim Landwehr, thank you so much for sharing this memoir with us.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate the opportunity to do that.
Jim Landwehr's recent book is called Dirty Shirt, A Boundary Waters Memoir. Landwehr lives in Waukesha. He spoke with Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce in an interview which first aired in July. One last break, and then Milwaukee singer-songwriter Peter Mulvey shares a sample of his latest CD in advance of a show this evening in Walker's Point. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.